Can I have everybody's attention? We've taken a break. The Customer Service Operations Committee will call to order.
We're in committee, so let's see it.
I think we got there. Thank you very much. Thank you, and we're back to our Customer Service of 2014. And today, we want to bring Deputy General Manager Rob Troop to update us on the customer 2015 proposed budget. I think this is a very appropriate piece for us. Our budget reflects our values. We've had our customers to talk about those values, and I think what we'll go through today is to really put some eyes in onto the things that we've been doing and to talk about how it fits into the budget. I think it will be very important. I think it's appropriate that we note that one of those things that has happened to us recently is the introduction of the 7,000 series cars on Monday, and it was
balmy day.
A balmy day, indeed it was, but we got through it, not with the wind and the weather, but with the actual revealing of the car, and it is a good example of, one, the investment that we've made, and also what our customers are asking for and what we are returning for those investments. So with that, we will turn it over. We have in this budget the entire breadth of the things that our customers interface with every day. All right, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you so much, and good morning again. You know, it really is a pleasure to be able to discuss the proposed budget for FY15 and specifically what that investment means to our customer. You know, it's just not about ties and fasteners, but what our customers experience and actually see from this investment. We know that the ride is not just about the track and structure, but the comprehensive experience. Safety, reliability, and on-time performance are all critical, and we prioritize those. But we also want that ride to be clean, comfortable, and informative from the moment they step into the rail system on a bus or on a Metro Access vehicle. FY2015 will see the first 7,000 series cars go into service. New technology, new lighting, new display panels, and station ahead information. This is proving to be an excellent car, and we all look forward, and certainly I look forward, to being able to put the first 64 into service. In addition to the 7K, we will be making improvements to the existing fleet with installation of the new resilient flooring. This is an outstanding improvement to look, feel, and comfort of the car. Getting rid of the carpet also improves the maintainability of the flooring. You know, I know it's not all about rail, so I'm going to ask Jack to spend some time talking about some bus improvements.
Thanks, Rob. Again, we're excited with some of the opportunities in the budget, which essentially is a continuation of activities we've had in previous budgets. In FY15 is proposed to replace 80 of our 40-foot buses with brand new technology, as you've seen coming into the fleet over the last few years. Again, the new buses are exciting, but just as exciting is that we're getting rid of a bus that's 15 years old, 500,000 miles on it, high floor, meaning more steps. It's got a wheelchair lift in it that works or doesn't work. They're replaced by ramps that do work all the time. So we're excited about replacing 80 40-foot buses, and we have 21 articulated buses that are currently providing a great deal of service on the northwest part of town with Georgia Avenue and 16th Street. We replace articulated buses at 12 years just due to the complexity of the bus and the difficulty in maintaining reliability. And we also have 20 expansion buses in the program that would be used to support the ever-increasing ridership and congestion alternatives. And I don't know if it's official, but our estimation of ridership increases during the first 6 months is 4.2% over the same 6 months last year. So we're seeing quite an increase in ridership, congestion, overcrowding in areas, and we certainly hope to have 20 additional buses for that purpose. In addition, there are about 30 buses from the FY14 purchase that will actually arrive in 15, and that's how we get to the 151. At the same time, we take 100 buses a year out of service, and in 15, we anticipate taking the first hybrid diesel electric buses that we purchased 7-8 years ago and going through a midlife overhaul of those buses and then begin working on 50 buses that come from our 2007 compressed natural gas fleet. So again, those buses are out of service for about 8 to 10 weeks. They come back provide a much higher level of reliability. New paint scheme, and I always have to go back to Brian Glenn, who called me at one time and says, am I on a new bus or a rehab bus? And I love that comment, and I was happy to tell him it was a rehab bus. The bus facilities, again, we've had the groundbreaking for the Cinderbed Road facility that will replace Royal Street. I think there's one more permit to be issued, and ground preparation should take place, but it's still, I think we're still on schedule for a replacement facility by summer of 15, which will do two things. It will close Royal Street. The difficulties with Royal Street is that it has many height restrictions, that the buses, the only buses we can operate out of there, we have 82 buses, they're all of the 2000 model, so the customers of Royal Street are getting the oldest buses in the fleet, and so the quicker we can provide alternatives to our customers, to our operators, and to cut down on the maintenance expense of the Royal Street facility, we'd like to do that, and so Cinderbed Road gives us that. It's a LEED Silver facility. We would start out with about 80 buses, and over time have the ability to raise it to about 160 buses in that fleet. At the same time, Rob and others are working diligently on proposals I believe are in for the replacement of the Southern Avenue facility, probably one of our worst conditioned facilities that we have. Andrews Center is the location of the new facility. Projected time is 2017 for that facility to open. That would allow us to replace the Southern facility that has about 103 buses on it with a facility with up to 175 capacity. The same kind of components that we talked about at Shepherd Parkway, Cinderbed Road, it would be LEED Silver minimum. It would have the facilities that operators need, including a quiet room, as we talked about, for fatigue purposes and giving the operators an opportunity to rest between runs. And again, new facilities, better lighting, just, you know, provides better management, better maintenance, better morale, better service for our customers. So we're excited about our opportunities to see these investments take place over the next few years. The signal priority project is well underway. I know there's been a lot of questions by the different jurisdictions. WMATA took on the responsibility of providing the technology specifications for this project. Our responsibilities have, in a sense, we've attempted to award a contract that was unsuccessful, so we went to our current contractor. We have a clever device who put our new onboard equipment on our buses, has installed or designed and it has the specifications for signal priority that is available to our jurisdictions. They've been given limited notice to proceed to complete all specifications by the end of March, I think, is our plan. From our standpoint, we will be having the contractor install signal priority equipment on 25 intersections along Route 7, primarily for our 28 deck service that we'll install equipment on our buses that will allow us to move buses faster along Route 7, which is a challenge much of the time in Virginia. And this contract will also be available, and I think most jurisdictions are looking to ride the contract to provide similar type of technologies in their areas. We anticipate that after March that we probably are a year away from actual installation and operation on that route, and the other jurisdictions will have that same opportunity. So the concerns of spending Tiger Grant money by September of 2016, we think, is well within the time limits, and we appreciate the patience of the jurisdictions and their support in working with us on a very complex problem, since everybody has a different signal system than the other. So I think that's coming along. And from an access, bus stops are always being discussed, and we certainly want accessibility to be improved. WMATA has funding in its in the 15 budget, we believe, to do about 40 bus stops. We have identified the top bus stops that we think meet the criteria for work in FY15. We're working with the jurisdictions to finalize that so that we can balance jurisdictions, dollars, and to ensure that we can get as many done with the dollars that we have available. So those are the exciting things that we think that the customers will see in FY15, and be happy to answer any questions in regards to the bus component of this presentation.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Bolger.
Jack, thank you for the. Let's go back to the slide that's up there. The bus priority corridors. I think Tony and I found out, remember Tony, when we visited DDOT over 2 years ago, that Route 7 was going to be wonderful for Fairfax. To get Route 7 done, what I'm interested in is the schedule for the bus priority corridors in the city. In the
other corridors?
The District of Columbia.
Yeah. My understanding is the district has their own money, and we are providing the tool. They have Tiger Grant money, I think, to make adjustments in theirs, and we're providing the contractor, in a sense, to make it available. And that we're doing the technical components of it,
right,
so that they can use the technicians to either go out on contract by themselves or to contract with our contractor to do the work. And I believe they're going to use our contractor.
Okay, so that's great news. I wanted to get my head around what priority corridors in the District of Columbia are scheduled.
We can get that
and,
to you.
The time frames, and because I get a lot of questions about, your staff knows 16th Street,
yeah,
Georgia Avenue, Wisconsin Avenue, et cetera, and it'd be great if we knew how the signalization.
If we can, we can let us recheck with the district and get something back to you, since it's actually.
And I'll speak with the DDOT stuff. Thank you.
But we think that the basis to get the work done with the technology, the specifications, and the contractor are there if the district wants to use those. And again, it's been a challenge, and I sometimes question why we took this on from the standpoint.
All right,
of trying.
Well, just one final question, Madam Chair. If there's, I know Mr. Nichols has brought this up. If we need to intervene to push this schedule,
right,
I would be more than happy to hear back from you.
I think the jurisdictions are eager to proceed. We've had the challenge of getting the technology so that it works within the vehicle and works within the signal system complete, and I think I anticipate that they're going to move quickly to use their Tiger Grant funds, and hopefully that will lead to more funding to make more signals available.
Thank you. The point is that we're looking at the 2015, and at this point, that's not included in that,
right,
unless the district is going to.
Yeah, I was just speaking to the project that we have with our Tiger Grant money that we anticipate
will be
started in 15 and completed,
Okay. Mr. Giancola, and then Mr.
Cole. Yeah, thank you for the busing information. I'd like to get your feel for the average age of our bus fleet and how's that compare to the industry average. As far as I understand it, we are really doing quite well as far as a low age-wise of our bus fleet compared to the industry.
Well, I think over the last two or three years, we're as good as we can be. I mean, we're essentially, when the bus hits 15 years, essentially within that year, it's going off the property. And I do want to compliment the board for the continued funding of the replacement program. And I think that's what's helping us improve reliability, curb appeal to the customer, and I think that's it's a good component of why ridership continues to increase.
So the
average age is about seven.
Yeah, that's
seven.
What I thought.
Yeah.
What's typically the industry average? I know when I was running bus fleets, it was like 12 to 14 years. But
well,
it,
yeah,
that was a long time ago.
We had those numbers too at one time when I came here. We were running buses 30 years old, and most systems run buses 12 years and replace. We think our program works well for 15 years, but I would imagine that the average age across the industry is probably higher than we are. But again, we think 100 buses per year replacement works well for us, and it keeps us right at the average that we, you know, 7 to 7.5 years, which is half of our life, and we think it's a perfect number.
Yeah, I would certainly encourage our citizens to and riders to use our buses as well as they are.
Right, they are.
They're really nice.
Thank you. And they're safe.
Mr. Director, I wanted to ask you a question or two on this slide, so it's good that that slide is still up there. Could you talk a little bit about traffic signal prioritization, how it actually works? It sounds like a simple concept, but I'm sure it's not.
Well, I'll try. I'm not the technician, but my understanding is what the bus knows where it is on, whether it's on schedule or not. And if the bus is running late, we will send a signal to the signal system saying that we're running late and we would like some priority. And the jurisdictions who own the signals will then determine whether they're going to give it to us and how much time they're going to give to us. If the bus is running early, which we hope it isn't, if it's running on time, we're essentially not going to be asking for any priority. We're trying to keep buses that are congested moving faster to get back on schedule. And I think that that is the primary principle. So the bus knows where it's at. The bus needs some additional help. We ask the signal for the help. The jurisdiction allows that signal to give us that priority, and we get some additional time.
And how,
additional green light.
What is the priority that you're getting? Does the light just short the light on the cross streets so that there's more green?
More green in our direction. It's not priority for buses over traffic. It's just priority of additional green light for us to hopefully get through one more intersection to help us catch up.
So it lengthens the green for the street that the
right.
bus is
Right, and we're talking maybe 10, maybe 15 seconds or something like that.
And how does the, now you've made it more complicated, how does the bus signal to the jurisdiction so that the bus is on schedule or not? Does the driver do that, or is that done?
No, it's all done electronically. The bus, it's always identifying its location, and through it'll send a signal to the system, to the signal that is compatible with the technology that's on the bus, and the signal system will get the message and then make the determination as to whether to give us the green or not.
So the jurisdiction can electronically follow the bus as it's moving?
Well, the jurisdiction is just essentially giving them priorities to the signal systems as to what to do when they get the signal. So we're anticipating a 10-second, maybe 15-second extension of green, and the technologists just do it all themselves. It's kind of like next bus technology,
yeah.
Kind of telling the, you know, making predictions as to where we'll be. We know where the bus is. We know whether it's on time. That determination will be made on the bus. That information is sent to the signal, and it's all done electronically.
There's all algorithms set up on the computer side of, you know, that's supporting the signal, and there's rules set up about when they'll allow it, when they won't allow it. Depends on, I imagine, cross street crossing traffic and that sort of thing.
Do we have any of these traffic signal prioritization agreements in place now with any of the jurisdictions?
We have tentative agreements, I think, in the works and in place to make this happen with the new technology. We have some priority on Georgia Avenue, I think, but essentially it's just telling the signal that the bus is coming. It's not
right.
too sophisticated. This gets to be pretty sophisticated.
Okay. Just a final question. This picture of the bus lane.
Yeah, we'd like that taken.
What section is that in?
Well, I think that's 7th Street, and hopefully by now the district's taken that off. But that causes more problems than helps. I'm sorry. Nobody. It's not enforced, and our interest is to have bus lanes, but to have bus lanes that work in a better manner than this one. So we're working with the jurisdiction, the district, to remove this one and to do some other things. We're working with all the jurisdictions to try to find ways, as the jurisdictions are, to try to find priorities for buses to move people faster.
Right. Are there any jurisdictions where there are bus lines that you like right now?
Not in this area.
Not in this area.
No, you're going to go to Pittsburgh or someplace. Houston. So there's lots of examples of success stories.
Can I make an editorial comment? The staff is being diplomatic. One of the things that this requires is a uniform communication protocol that can interact uniformly with the Metro buses around the jurisdiction. Because the staff can't have a set of communication stuff that can work just in the district, or just in Montgomery County, or just in Fairfax County. we have to have a regional agreement about the software and the interface communications protocol.
And I'll add to that that there's about 15, you know, we have about 1,500 buses. There's another 1,500 out there. They can all use the same advantages. We're talking about moving buses faster, not just Metro buses.
And the region cannot get out of its own way about making a decision. The hardest thing for this region to come to an agreement is about a uniform technology for the entire region. Everybody has their own hobby horse about my technology is better, and we have been at this point about a uniform regional technology for several years, and some of the federal funding for this is going to lapse for a lack of an agreement about regional compatible software that allows for the interface between the buses and the traffic signal system. But who's noticing that? I'm not sure. That's why I wanted to make the editorial comment.
Thank you. Mr. Downs went in a place that I was going, I would have gone a little differently. So let's just say that. I think that this conversation really points out the fact, I mean, Priority Corridor Network is one of our major areas of work in our Momentum 2025.
Right.
And I think this whole conversation points out the fact that this is a collaboration between this agency and all of our jurisdictions. And we have the opportunity, and this would really be a request for us to think about how we go forward. As we think about Momentum 2025, there are places where we hold it all within our control at Metro if we can get the funds. There are other things where collaboration has to be how we lead and has to be how we achieve. And I think there's no better example than the Priority Corridor Network and fixing bus stops. Both of those are critical to the success of moving people efficiently in this region, and I think we have a responsibility to highlight those issues and to take them back to our jurisdictions and say, you know, here's part of our opportunity. As we think about how we talk about the region's investment in making transit work better for everybody, we have to call out not where we fail, but where we succeed too. And so I hope the next presentation has, you know, here's some great strides forward we've made. We know you need us to do that, but we have to start looking for where we are making progress and how we can build on that progress. And I think, you know, the Leesburg Pike one is a great beginning. I know we're doing things in Arlington. They're not exactly the same, but everybody's trying, and people are beginning to prioritize in their jurisdictional spending, and we have to acknowledge that as we talk at this table too, that it's not just about the money we're struggling with, but it is about intention and willingness to collaborate that's actually going to get us through this whole thing. So I just a little different tack, Tom.
Well, thank you, Ms. Hines. I think the real opportunity here is that we've taken the time to look at our budget from a different lens, and it is what is the investment and what is the customer as well as the authority is gaining with these dollars. And so I think you're right in terms of we can use that momentum as an opportunity to show what we are going to do together and what it does in terms of advancing our long-term goal. Mr. Recker, you have...
Well, I do. I'm sorry. I got the floor. I don't want to give up. So. Rob can have it back today. Everything is right. Priority corridors work fine. We're doing limited stops. We're carrying a lot of people. The improvements would only make things move faster and less costly. And, you know, my desire to take that pain off the street, make those diamond lanes during the peak hours would be a great benefit. I mean, it would be a good use of that paint. So I'll stop there.
Well, it's a good focus, though. I think our buses are really a critical element that integrates a system that would not work well if we did not have them working well. So,
I don't think we want to go to the ultimate weapon, which is the contraflow bus lane, which is self-enforcing, but troublesome.
Okay. Briefly, yes.
Um,
About customers, one of the things that I've been struck with is it's the small things that matter to customers. On behalf of Mr. Bolger, I want to recognize the permanent lighting on the platform at Farragut North. Thank you for fixing the permanent lighting at Farragut North. The mezzanine lighting initiative generates a lot of compliments about a change in the environment that people can see. New bus stop signs throughout the system also get noticed. It's oftentimes for our customers, it's not the mega projects that make the difference. It's the things that we pay attention to in the capital budget, and I know we're making progress. We need to kind of celebrate those as well, and they sometimes get lost because they're smaller budget items. I just want to encourage you to keep the small stuff that the customers are truly appreciative of and the forefront as well.
Well, we will take that time off when we get to the lighting portion in the presentation because that is exactly what we want.
Thank you. And thank you, Jack. Appreciate it. Metro Access continues to get safer and more reliable vehicles. The increased ceiling height, the better ergonomics inside allows for unloading and better unloading and offloading for our accessibility passengers. And the new look fleet will represent about 90% of the total at the end of FY15. Escalators, always an interesting topic. The replacement contract is now through a majority of the design and manufacturing stages with customers getting replacement. I'm going to say it again, replacement, not rehab, in 7 of the stations. Rehabilitations will be done in numerous stations, and this continues to provide our customers with more reliable escalator performance, which we're seeing. We will have elevators, will be rehabbed in 12 stations. This ensures better reliability and return to service. And the new look mezzanine lighting will be installed at 47 underground stations. We are progressing the station platform work with new slip-resistant tiles and improvement repair to the structural underpinning. This is something that's not readily understood. We are not just replacing the tiles, but also the supports and the platform bed themselves. We continue to improve and rehabilitate the station cooling and conduct major station overhauls at 23 stations. Now, these station overhauls are essentially like detailing a car. We focus on extreme cleaning, tile repair, painting, lighting, and all those elements similar to the way you would detail a car. We continue to look and to manage an integrated transportation network, not just the buses, but also improving the experience for our bike riding passengers. And we do this by improving the facilities and also providing more bike lockers. The parking garage lighting project is interesting in that we will get new LED lights and a maintenance contract at essentially a zero-sum cost to the authority. The contract utilizes the efficiency savings to pay for the installation and maintenance costs. Therefore, it's in the contractor's best interest to install high-efficiency lighting and maintain it to the highest degree of standard. And this is, of course, a great benefit to the customer as they will see better lighting within the garage. The new electronic payment system. This is the part of the customer service that provides for ease of movement through the system so our passengers, both those who are experienced and also who are inexperienced, can navigate as efficiently as possible. Open payment through chip-enabled credit cards means there will not be a necessity for standing in line at the fare vendors. This pilot program will begin in FY2015 with equipment installed in specific stations and buses, and also 2,000 pilot customers who will test the network and provide feedback prior to full-scale implementation. An interesting part about this contract is what the finance project office has established is performance milestones for payment to the contractor, which, if these are not achieved within the pilot program, means the contractor does not get paid. This is a huge incentive for the contractor to get the project done right, as we know that the fare payment is that one interface that all customers have. All of this, and we get nice new stainless steel fare gates as well. Now, I know I said I wasn't going to talk about ties and fasteners since the customer doesn't see them first, but The customer does experience the effect of a railroad that is in state of good repair. It's not just in the comfort of the ride, but also in the reliability and safety of that ride. We look forward to presenting the budget to the public through the formal hearings, and passenger feedback is always encouraged and appreciated. Please note the link for our online survey, which can be found on the WMATA.com website. Thank you, and should there be any questions?
Thank you. This is very important. I think it's we will hear from our customers, but I think we really want to put a face on what the budget is making the investment in, and that it does impact their lives and their experiences in the system. So I think this has been very helpful in both safety and the other, so that we can really make it clear. Let me go back to the minutes. We did not approve minutes as we got started here. Is there a motion to do so? So moved by Mr. Acosta, second. Second by Mr. Porter. Discussion, hearing none, all those in favor? And opposed? Thank you. With that, we will have we will move on in the next customer service. I think in March, we talked about bus stops, and we want to talk about where we are in terms of all of those. So that will continue our process here. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.